I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's going on, dude? How are you?
How are you?
Look at that. Shiny gold guitar and all. Matt, nice to meet you.
Good to see you.
What's going on? You got a full day of this?
Yes. A full day every day.
Yeah? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, of course. It's good.
I've been doing my sort of interviewing of various different rock stars and, you know, musicians for 12 years now, John, and I've never spoken to you before, so I'm very excited to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
Can I ask you, is there any way you could bump up the level on your microphone?
Let's see. I could come closer and talk louder. La-da-dee.
There we go. That's perfect. I want to be able to hear you nice and clear. I did see you about 10 years ago backstage at the Birmingham O2 Academy. I'd come there to interview Rob. Hellbilly Deluxe 2 had just come out, and you were kind of just walking around the corridor with your guitar, makeup all on, and you just looked pure evil. And you're obviously not. You're a very nice, normal guy as far as rock stars go. Has it always been about the guitar for you, John? Is that just where your love and fascination of rock and roll begins and ends, with that beautiful thing in your hand right now?
It absolutely is. And I'm always with my guitar. I mean, it seems odd to say, but I'm always playing and I'm always picking. So that you saw me backstage with the guitar around me is not surprising. So it's just a little comfort thing for me as well. It's just like if when we were kids and we were walking around with our whoopee or something, our blankets or our favorite toy or something like that. That's what it is with me with the guitar still.
And that's the thing that keeps you out of trouble as well, right? Because you seem to be one of the few guys in this game that has never succumbed to, you know, extracurricular activities, let's say.
Yeah, I just, I've always tried to, like, not do drugs, not drink, not smoke, and just, it just wasn't really for me. I just loved playing and watching TV and hanging out with friends and just doing that kind of thing, and why not just do that?
So what grabbed you first? Was it a specific player? Was it a moment on television? Was it a live show? What was the light bulb moment that made you go, that's for me?
There was a light bulb moment where I was watching. There's a TV show called Hee Haw here in America that.
Yeah. Buck Owens, right? You're not widely known over here, but I mean, Buck Owens, for me, I love country music. Obviously, Act Naturally became a big hit for the Beatles with Ringo singing, but that was obviously him. Who was the other host? It was him and one other guy, right?
Clark. So I was watching the show in 1976, and there was a banjo champion. We watched it, every week. Banjo champion of 1976. And it was this little kid, Jimmy Henley, and he was playing. And I was like, whoa. And it was just so amazing. And that was the light bulb that went off for me. I was, because he was so good. Mm-hmm. It just made me, it just inspired me. I liked anything that was done well. And it was, you know, incredible. And I was so excited about that. I was just really, really super excited about it. And I wanted to play guitar, electric guitar, because I knew you couldn't get a lot of chicks playing banjo. So I knew that that guitar was cool. And that's why I play a Telecaster, because they all play Telecasters on their show.
Well, I mean, even up to the newest record, you got How High the Moon on there, and Georgia on My Mind as well. So that fascination is clearly, although it's gone electric, the country is very much still in your veins, isn't it?
Yes. And I also did that crazy little thing called Love in the Chet Atkins style, you know, with that Merle Travis Chet Atkins style of playing.
Well, even for Queen, that's a country song, isn't it? It's a country and western ditty.
Yeah, yeah. But I made it real. I took it to the next level with the country isms.
Would you do a full country tour? Would you ever just kind of go full Stetson cowboy style?
I think I would, but not like with the not with the rhinestones or anything like that. I think I would do it like a different way, like really dirty, 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 like hillbilly type of working in the coal mine type of look, you know. But I would do it, and it would be, it'd be wicked.
Well, even on the latest Zombie album as well, and I know he's obviously got that fascination with not just country music, but, you know, kind of, you know, country hillbilly cinema as well. But like, what, there's a couple of tracks on that latest record, I wrote them down here, the 18th Century Cannibals and the much talked of Metamorphosis, those two tunes off the latest Zombie album.
Yes.
When you're writing stuff like that, is that coming from you purely? Is it coming from both of you together? Like, because you've obviously been with him for enough records now, you know what each other like. But who brings the country stuff to the forefront?
Well, if he visualizes it and he asks me about it, I'll be like, yeah, sure. You know, and like that that song Ghost Train that we did on the record is total country. And then it has that really heavy chorus. But yeah, we did that in like one day, because he was like, yeah, give me like this and give me that. I'm looking for something like this. And luckily we communicate so well, and we kind of are on the same wavelength as what he describes to me and all that stuff. I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, his brain, if you don't know anything about him, you'd probably think like, this guy takes LSD every day, he's a maniac. But Rob's very much like you, isn't he? He's just like, for lack of a better word, and I mean this respectfully, kind of just like a geek, right? And he just loves music and cinema and comics and art. And like you, he's just there to make stuff rather than, you know, go wild backstage.
Yeah, because I don't know, going wild backstage, I don't know. It just seems that it's going to catch up with you. And I want to do this as long as I can.
Yeah. Amen. And so far, so good. So when you're a kid and you're, you know, figuring out that guitar is your calling and that rock and roll is going to be your path, are your parents supportive of the initial move towards making music a full-time thing?
They were supportive because they said, okay, as long as you get up for school, you can go and play these clubs. And I was really, really, really young playing these clubs. I even wore a long black wig because I would play with these guys that all had long hair and stuff like that. And I was so young, and they were like in their mid-20s, and I was like 13, you know. So I was playing these clubs at such an early age, and it was awesome. You know, it just was the best, you know. But I learned a lot, and I'm so happy I did that, because I learned so much about, you know, playing live and the business and all that stuff. it's just like you can punch the punching bag as much as you want, but until you get in the ring, it's completely different.
Yeah, and you're not a band till you play the gig, are you? You can have a million and one rehearsals, and that's the same if you're a stand-up comedian. You can have hours of material, but until you get up there on stage and take that leap of faith, only then is it real. And I think, I mean, so the first time you're up there, is the thrill of performing live as exciting for you as learning parts, writing parts, being in the studio and recording? Or were you more of a studio and session guy to begin with, and then you found your feet and confidence on the stage over time?
I think it's a little bit of both, because it's like if you eat the same kind of food over and over and over again, you really love this food. You really love it. You're like, oh, I love this food, but I think I want something else now. And you eat that and you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's kind of how I am. Like, if I'm in the studio too long, which I love doing, I'm ready to get on the road and vice versa. And I have a lot of fun on the road, like playing live. It's like I play a little game and I see how perfect I can play something, because everyone has phones nowadays, but I try to see how absolutely perfect I can play. Cause you know, you're moving around. It could be like, you know, like whatever, like, but I try to do it as, and it's a little game I play to see like how perfect I can get it on the beat or how perfect I can execute this part, you know? And because you're playing things over and over every night, and it's just, it can get repetitive. But if you do that kind of game, like if you're driving and you're like, let's see how perfectly I can stay in the lines. It's not easy, you know, for a long distance. It's really like you go that way a little bit, you go that way. And that's how I am kind of with playing live shows, to see how perfect I can get it. So I really love both things of playing live and, you know, recording as well.
Well, what you're talking about there as well is like stimulating your awareness of the moment too, and being really present in the moment by focusing on the tiny details and specifics. Because you can go, it's the same with, you know, if you want to use that driving analogy, and with playing shows as well, I know from doing many in a row, you can go into cruise control, can't you? And you can drift off. And what you're talking about is kind of shining that awareness of the situation and being present in the moment and ultimately enjoying it more because you're engaged.
Right. And even if you concentrate, if you're like, oh, this is going really good, but to go even a little bit further to see how well you can lock in or how well you can play something. Because as you know, like if you're in the studio, you play something, it can be played completely different the second time around. So that's kind of what I do. And it makes it interesting. And luckily, when people are recording with their phones, I promote it. I'm like, record all you want. It's your phone. You know, because listen, a lot of people can't make the show. They're sick. They're got hurt. They don't have the money. So why not? You know, why not record the show? I think it's wonderful.
When you move out to Los Angeles, you're like kind of born and raised in Detroit, right? Or not Detroit, like a suburb of Michigan.
Right. Yeah. And I left that like right when I turned 18. So I've been out here for 1,000 years, it seems like. You know.
So what year did you land in L.A.?
It was 88, 89.
So musically, what's going on then? Is the Sunset Strip scene dying out? What's occurring on the Hollywood scene at that time?
I guess it was 88. It was in full force. And it was rocking. It was happening. And I remember, I think it was around, I don't know, when did Nirvana Nevermind come out?
91.
Okay, 91. So it was still going. It was still going. And then when Nirvana, when that came out, it was still going, believe it or not. It was still going. And then right around 94. And I remember it just like someone turned the lights on. I was like, hey, what's going on? And there was nobody out there. I was like, whoa, what's going on? What's happening? And it was completely different. And I remember it was like 94.
Was that good? Was that good news for you? Was that bad news for you? Were you kind of like, were you a hair metal fan? Were you going to try and get in those kind of bands when you got there?
Well, I love music. So I love the, you know, the 80s, and I love the grunge style stuff. I love all of it. You know, I'm like a really big fan of all of it. I mean, when Alice in Chains and Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden and all that stuff came out, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, I just, because it was great music.
Yeah.
I was not one of those people that were like,
I only like Kiss. Yeah.
I loved it. I was like, just took it open arms and went crazy with it. And then the same thing with the industrial thing that was happening, Ministry and Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson and all that stuff. I went crazy for it. I love music, and I love great music.
As a kid, like, well, you know, you're obviously 18, which is, you know, technically an adult, but it's really not in terms of life experience and everything as well. And Hollywood back then, by all accounts, was, you know, kind of rough and tough and down and dirty. Were you like intimidated at all? Was it scary for you, or did you take to the scene well and just throw yourself in?
It was very scary until I really figured out what I was gonna do. Like, it was scary because I was like, well, where are we gonna sleep? You know, like, I just didn't understand what was going on. And it was such a strange community of people and musicians and friends. Everyone kind of helped each other in a sense, you know, and it was really a long, drawn out party that was happening. It was some of the greatest times of my life, and it was just magical. I mean, I don't know if this sounds really strange, but I don't know if you go outside sometimes and there's a smell in the air and it just brings back memories or something like that. That's how it was with, you know, like when I was in Hollywood, it was just so fun and so careless. And, you know, I wasn't a bad guy, you know, I wasn't like a bad dude doing bad stuff, you know? So I have nothing but just amazing, fun memories. It was great.
Who are the first rock stars that you know, either encounter socially or jam with? I want to talk to you about Bob Marlette in a bit, because I gather that's kind of like an early key figure in, you know, your creative path. But in terms of like maybe a moment you have in a club or somewhere, are there a couple of those that spring to mind where you're like, oh, wow, I can't believe this is such and such right here?
Really? And it was like all the time. It was because I would go to the Cat House, Bordello, Red Light Districts, Coconut Teaser, all these places, these clubs. And, you know, Guns N' Roses, they were always around. Motley Crue, they were always around. Who else was always around? Faster Pussycat was always around. LA Guns, they were always around. Skid Row. So these were people that were just around because they were young. They were young. They were in their, what? I'm not good with years and ages and stuff, but I'm thinking they were in their late 20s, you know, or something like that. And at this time, and what would you do at that time? You just went out. So where was the place to go? You went at these places, and it wasn't like a VIP thing. It was just a club where people went, and people would get up and play all the time. They would jam, you know, you'd see guys from Guns N' Roses get up on stage and Skid Row, and like, you know, Ozzy's band would just get up and just play and stuff. It was just such a different time. But now, you know, it's like, you see people get up and jam, but like, it was like, okay, well, we're going to rehearse this and this and this. No, it wasn't like that. Like, people would just get up and play because there was no cell phones or anything like that. So they weren't worried. The only people that were going to see it are the people right there. And if you had a camera, that was about it.
Yeah, the cell phones, that, you know, they have very positive and also perhaps restrictive impact in particularly the music scene and performance scene, I think. And as you say, because now everybody in the room's got that device, that spontaneity that would have been a nightly theme back then is kind of just, it's gone now, isn't it?
It was crazy, like seeing Axl and all these guys just hanging around.
So Bob Marlette, I know of him because he produced the first Airborne album, who are good friends of mine, and then he went back, I think, and did their fourth record. And they've talked about working with him and just what a musician and a fan he is, as well as being a producer. I gather he's somebody who in your life early on, you know, changed the way in which you were going, right?
Yeah, it was like that scene in Step Brothers where they realize, oh my God, you know, let's do karate in the garage. You know, it was like that kind of, you know, we were just such great friends and we just connected on every level. And he taught me so much. I mean, he taught me so much. And I learned and learned and learned and just would always listen. And he was like my Yoda and really taught me a lot about songwriting and recording and what to do and what not to do with the business. And I made so many records with Rob. And then later in my career, I brought with Bob, I brought Bob to like Zombie. And I even brought Bob to Manson. He did some Manson stuff. I even brought Bob to Leonard Skinner, you know, so he helped me so much. And then, you know, I helped him as well too. Get like saying, hey, meet this guy. He's incredible. He's an incredible producer. So I love him and I owe him so much. He's done so much for me. He's just the best.
So Rob Halford, is that through Bob? How does that gig come around working with two?
Yeah, that's through Bob Marlette too. I don't remember. It's Bob, I think, knew Halford and said, oh, you got to meet this guitar player. And we started working on some songs with me, Halford, and Marlette. And it was great. You know, we just had this amazing sound and these great songs. And we made a great record with the help of Trent Reznor. And it was a wonderful time. Now that I'm thinking about it, I've never had any weird like times in my life where I'm like, oh, that was kind of weird or anything like that. It's always been so positive and so wonderful, you know? And I think that is important for people like who's listening to this and watching this, you know, to be kind of a good person, be kind you know, treat people how you want to be treated, because there's such an amalgamation of things that you have to do in this career: play well, be on time, be a nice person. You know, it's not just one thing. It's just all these things together.
Yeah. Well, you touched on something really important there as well, which is you kind of get back what you put out into the world. And that's, you know, very true of an industry like this where everything is based on people relationships. But it's also just true of day-to-day life, isn't it? And that kind of karma of the universe that comes back around is if you put out good into the world and conduct yourself in a way that's graceful and respectful, then you're going to get that as a theme in your life attracting you as well, you know, rather than the opposite, which is often chaos, misery, and horror.
I agree. I'm just, you know, because there's so many times where you're like, man, that guy is such a butthole. Why? You know, why is that person like this? You know, and it's not just in music. It could be anything. And that's not good. I think if you put out positive vibes, you're going to get positive vibes back. And it's people want to be around you when you're a nice person and it's just the opposite if you're not.
What was David Lee Roth like? Because he's a rock and roll maniac, that guy is. I'd love to interview him. What was he like when you met him and worked on the DLR band record with him?
He knew exactly what he wanted. He was so, he just knew what he wanted, it to sound like. And I sent him these songs to this office, and he loved it. Because, you know, I love Van Halen, and I put on my best, you know, Van Halen type of thing. If I wanted to hear Van Halen make a record, this is what I would want it to sound like. And those songs you hear on that first record is exactly what I sent him. You know, we went to the studio soon after, we played live, and he was like, all right, great. And it seemed like it was done so fast. I was like, what happened? You know, because we just played and they recorded and they were like, all right, cool, let's, you know, move on. It was like so fast, but I was concentrating so hard. Like the building could have blown up and I would have been so like just zeroed in on this song. And that's how hard I would concentrate on this music, because we were just playing live.
Well, Rob Halford and David Lee Roth, you know, these are like larger than life comic book heroes of your childhood. And when you work with the pair of them is early on in your career, was nerves a factor with either of those projects? Or as you say there, were you so focused on the task and the job that helped alleviate any anxiety that would have been there from working with these, you know, rock stars?
I think there was always anxiety, but I was so focused and prepared that I said, this is just what I do. You know, this is just what I do. So I felt confident, but there's always that anxiety. Like, it's my hero right there. You know, I didn't even think that guy was real, you know? So I just did my best, and I've been friends with them I still am friends with them, you know, with both those guys, Halford and Roth, you know. It's wonderful.
It is. And I've never met Dave, but I've interviewed Rob on the show, and he's just from originally down the road where I'm from as well. And he is such a sweet, sweet man, that dude is. He's like as nice as they come, isn't he?
He is. And you know why? Because there's nothing for him. Why would you be upset? You're Rob Halford, you know, you're the greatest. So why not be the nicest person? He's got just like the greatest, greatest voice, the greatest life. I mean, he's incredible. Same with David Lee Roth, you know, it's just like, what an amazing time. I mean, I'm just worried I'm going to wake up from a dream and go, whoa, I had this crazy dream that I did all this stuff and played guitar and did interviews, you know, and all this stuff, you know.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, dude, I want to get on to the solo stuff from Rob Zombie momentarily, but I want to touch on this, if you don't mind, not in relation to what's been going on more recently, but like your time with Manson, because we're talking a lot about good dudes and nice guys. And, you know, you joined that band at a very insane time, you know, off the back of the Columbine shooting, when all of the American media just, you know, like guns out, all out assault on him as this cultural figure, and trying to pin all of this horror on him and you joined that band at that time. What was that like for you walking into that storm?
Well, it was, you know, we were on tour, so the media, it was, I was not doing a lot of interviews. It was mostly Manson doing the interviews. So I just, you know, did my job and did my shows and played as well as I could and made sure I was on time and wrote the best songs that I could. And that's pretty much what it was for me. But I wasn't like doing crazy amount of interviews or anything like that. So it was pretty easy for me because I was mainly just playing guitar and writing songs and playing concerts.
The Fight song, I think, is one of his best. Was that a composition written solely by you from a musical standpoint? Was that your track?
Yeah. And where that came from, you know, it was like that intro, but it was kind of like from
Woohoo! Yeah. That was the inspiration, yeah. Was it?
Yeah, that was the inspiration.
That's amazing. That's two worlds I'd have never put together, Manson and Blur. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I just love Blur. I just love music in general. You know, I just am such a fan of everything. If it's well done, I love it.
How much funk do you listen to? Because you're one of the few white guitarists that has so much funk just oozing out of you, specifically with the solo stuff. But I mean, it's obviously there with the Zombie records, but particularly with your solo releases, there's a lot of funk going on.
Yeah, I really love that. Like, and I love like the slap stuff, like, you know, that kind of stuff is really cool and really funky. And I love things with a groove. And I don't know. I always have. I just love that. Just like Jamiroquai and stuff like that. It just really always dug. I was like, man, this is so good, you know? So I'm a fan, again, of like anything done well. I just really, really will eat it up, you know, and try to put it in my plane as well.
Do you have a dance around the house when no one's watching, John? Are you a dancer?
I don't, because I'm, and I would, you know, but I'm pretty
what's stopping you?
You know, but you know who can dance amazing is Zombie. It's like, he can dance so well. I'm like, oh my God, look at this guy dance. Like on stage and stuff, he'll do his thing. It's pretty incredible. But I wish I could dance because I'd be dancing all over the place.
Yeah, when you're tall and skinny like he is as well, it's quite hard to have composure and rhythm and flow. And he's got it, isn't he? He's got the moves.
Absolutely.
When you two first meet, you know, I mean, it seems like we sort of touched on this in our last conversation, but I'd love to pick it up because you really seem to be kindred spirits. And am I right in thinking that he was about to or thinking about walking away from music altogether and just focusing solely on his film career until he met you and you joined the band and you guys started collaborating? Is that vaguely true, or have I been misinformed there?
You know, I think he did say that in some interviews, and which, you know, I'm blown away by, but the truth is, you know, I was so excited to get in the band. I loved White Zombie. I loved Rob Zombie's solo stuff. I was such a fan. And I was so like, this is awesome. This is awesome, isn't it? And he was like, whoa, you know, yeah, I guess it is awesome, you know, because it's his stuff that he does. And he just, I think it just inspired him that someone was, I don't know what it was like in his other band, but I think it wasn't great, you know, and people weren't super happy. But when I got in there, I was like, this is the greatest, you know, look at what we're doing. Look at these songs, blah, blah, blah. So I think it just inspired him that I was so excited and we got, you know, a band that was so excited to be playing with him. I think that inspired him.
Yeah, I mean, with an act like that as well, how can you not have fun when you're in his band making that kind of music happen on stage? Because it's just, you know, it's like a night at the theme park, isn't it?
It's so much fun. And he's the best dude, you know? Like, if he was a miserable person, it'd be like another thing, but he's literally the best dude, you know? As long as you show up, play your part, be a normal person, you know? Yeah, it's been 17 years now that I've been in the band. It's like, it's been incredible.
What's your personal favorite album that you've made with Zombie? Do you have one?
The last one.
Yeah.
Hands down, the last album. It is by far my favorite record.
That you've ever been involved in?
With Zombie. That I've ever been involved in? Boy, that's tough. Oh, my God. I would say either this album, Sinner, or Invasion, my last album. Mm-hmm. Like, it just... everything came out perfect. I was like, whoa. But my favorite Zombie record is definitely this last record. It's just like, we play like three songs live and I just love it. I'm just so excited about it. And it was made really quick and it was, he just did a great job. I think he hit it out of the park.
Have you ever acted in any of his films? Have you ever done a cameo?
I did. So let's see how I can say this. I do things that I know that I'm pretty good at. Playing guitar, writing songs. You know, there's some people that are like, oh, I'm going to act, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to dance, and I'm going to this and that. You know, but it never turns out good it's a very small handful of people that can do all these things. So Rob said, okay, I'm going to have you be a extra in this movie, one of his movies. And I had to wear this mask and I was like this surgeon. And I was so bad.
What, just with no dialogue as well?
No dialogue. I was horrible. And so I put this mask on and I had these two little nose holes that I could breathe through, but they were like very small.
Right.
I couldn't breathe. I was like, whoa, 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 cut. You know, I can't breathe. And I had to like take it off and they had to like, I was a mess. I was a mess. So that was my film debut, my short film career.
Did it make the final cut of the film?
I think it did. Like, I'm like one of the guys like trying to breathe or something, it looked like. But no, he's great. And I know, like, I always joke, hey, oh, Rob, you know, make sure, you know, I'm ready for my close up, because he knows what a, you know, like how horrible I would be at that stuff. You know?
You scored, is it the Salem movie he did? Did you score that one?
Yeah. And it was great. It was a lot of work, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And there was so much music in that film. I mean, there was like 60, 70, 80 cues. And it was so much music, but I had so much fun, you know, and it was great. I always said, I don't like filming movies, but I would only, I'm scoring films, but I would only score Rob's films, you know.
Do you know Tyler Bates? I'm presuming you know Tyler.
Of course. He's brilliant. Brilliant.
I mean, that guy is like the king of the rock and roll movie score, isn't he?
Oh, he's incredible. He's incredible. So talented.
Yeah. Yeah. I had him on recently and was just blown away by his, you know, body of work. Insane. So,
Oh yeah, he's amazing. He's incredible.
You know, all the guys in Kiss at this stage, right? Are they all buddies of yours?
Yes, I know all of them, and they're all good friends of mine. Yes, absolutely.
Have you worked with all of them? I know you've worked with Paul. I know you've worked with, obviously, Peter on this new record. Have you worked with Ace or Gene?
I worked with Ace on both of his albums, and we always have a great time. I've known Ace for, you know, seems like 100 years. So I'm very close with him. The only person I have not worked with is Gene, who I'm close with, but I've never worked with him.
That must be a trip, right? As somebody who, you know, idolized many different bands, but Kiss being perhaps the gateway in.
Yeah. The thing with Peter, Georgia on My Mind,
I love the little vocal sample you left in as well.
That kind of stuff, you know, we had such a great time doing it. And Peter just sat down and played, and it was perfect. It was amazing. Like, it's just inside him of being a kid playing that jazz. And you hear that jazz influence on a lot of those Kiss records, you know?
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, do you think they'd ever do it with the original four? And do you think it would be good if they did? Would you like to see it as a fan? Who's this, John? Who's this?
That's Herman. Herman, say hi. But I hope so. I really do hope so. He's, you know, who knows if they have their last show.
That's one hell of a view right there.
Right? If they their last show, they have all the guys, you know, it'd be great.
Yeah, never say never, right?
That's right. I hope so. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. There you go.
Tell me about Ozzy. What's your connection with Ozzy?
Of course I've known Ozzy a long time through Randy Castillo, through Zach, but you know, just like, you know, in passing, and I did a show in Oslo in Norway, Ozzy / and Friends, and I got to play with Ozzy, but I've known him forever, but never really worked with him or anything.
Right. And the final guy from that sort of like era, is there like Slash you just mentioned there, is there a professional connection with you guys?
I met Slash like on their first tour and hung out with them and just stayed friends with them and just always had such a great respect for Slash. Slash is one of the ones who made me, who really influenced me to move to California and go after my dream, you know? So, it was Slash that really helped me make that decision. I wasn't talking with him about it, but just seeing what he's done and what he's doing, it really made me go, I'm going to do this, you know, that whole Welcome to the Jungle thing. And I talked to him about it and he was like, oh my God, you know, that's really cool and stuff like that. But yeah, he was the reason.
Has Nicky left LA now? Is Wyoming home?
Yeah, he's Wyoming home and he is.
Was that a bummer for you to lose your buddy?
Yeah, it's tough, man. Cause he just texted me when we were doing this. That's why I reach out like this and swipe it. But yeah, he's surrounded by beautiful, beautiful wilderness. He's surrounded by crazy wild animals. He'll be like, whoa, look at this moose in my yard, you know? And he loves it though. He couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I did a show with him on Kerrang Radio for about a year. He would do like an hour long slot within my show every week, so I got to know his like radio team and work with him pretty closely. And he's just such, considering what he's been through as an individual, just such a down-to-earth, like grateful guy that still seems so engaged in life, and yeah, obviously in art and creativity as well. He's constantly making and putting out things, including right, his new book. What's the project that you, him and Rob have going? Is that going to be something that will develop ever? Is that a different cat there?
That's a different cat.
What, who's this one called?
This is Vlad and he is, he's got like a little midget arms. So
it's funny. They've got totally different faces.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is like a, he looks like a bunny, but he's really, this one's really super cute, but he's a, like a little miniature guy, and you can see his arms and stuff. It's funny. But,
yeah. Like T-Rex style.
But they're all hairless. But he loves to stand in front of the computer or the phone any chance he gets.
Check out his body in the reflection.
Right. But LA rats, you know, hopefully we'll do something in the future. You know, I really hope we do something in the future because it was so fun to do that one song. You know, it was a blast.
Yeah, it sounds killer as well.
Yeah, thank you.
What about Skinhead? I'd love to hear some stories about working with them. I mean, that's the fucking institution of 70s classic American rock right there.
Oh, my God.
How did that call come about?
I was writing. I was a staff writer for Chrysalis Publishing. And they said, hey, you want to go write with Skinhead? And I was like, absolutely. I know every Skinhead song there is, you know. So I went and flew to Nashville. And, you know, it was cold. I had like this big black fur coat on. I had no eyebrows. I had two different colored shoes on. I mean, I looked like a complete lunatic. And they thought it was a joke. They thought someone was pulling a joke on them. And because I looked so crazy, and I walked in with the guitar and I said, hey, I'm here to write with you guys. And then I started, what did I do? I think I started playing like some Jerry Reed or something, like, you know. And then, you know, I would start doing like that kind of music. And they were like, oh, cool. So that kind of stuff. And they knew I was serious then. And then we ended up writing a bunch of songs together, and they told me the greatest stories. Like, they used to fight like motorcycle gangs. And this is when they were at their height, like selling out arenas, and they would like fist fight like motorcycle gangs. Like, like, it's just how they were, you know? And it was just, it was, and it just blew my mind. Could you imagine like a band nowadays, like that are like surrounded by so much security, you know, that they didn't have any security. They were like, all right, you know, screw you. And they would like, that's why you would see them on stage all banged up sometimes.
That's the real deal right there, isn't it?
That's the real deal.
I absolutely love it. Well, listen, what did they get, like, any kind of inkling about the use of Freebird in Devil's Rejects? Did they have any thoughts on that? Because that, for me, that scene with that song is one of the most cinematic moments. It's maybe the most cinematic thing Rob's ever done, I think, that end scene.
I know. It's unbelievable. It really is. Yeah, they approved it for Rob and the cat. They really, it really captured that moment. I mean, that's where you hear a song and visually it just works perfectly. And it did. It just was like unbelievable when that song was playing, and at the end and all that stuff that was happening. I mean, it was incredible.
So what's left for you, John? You know, you've worked with so many of the greats. You've released how many solo albums have you done now? Is this number 9, Sinner?
I don't know.
It's enough to lose count, right?
I have no idea. But it's just the beginning, you know? It's just the beginning.
Is there anything top of the list that you'd really love to do in the immediate future? Like, are there certain people you'd like to work with, or projects you'd like to develop, or styles you'd like to delve more into?
I've done so much that I just want to do everything. You know, I just want to do everything. I mean, they're putting my album cover. Oh, hi, Herman. They're putting my album cover on a race car on October 30th in a couple of days. And I mean, just things like that. It's just, I mean, I'm so happy. I'm like so appreciative of everything that's going on. I couldn't be happier. It's all just been just an incredible dream.
Amen to that. And you a family man as well? You got kids and everything?
Yeah, I have 3 kids, and you know, they're great kids. It's a lot of work and a lot of fun, that's for sure.
So you've done it all, man.
Right?
God forbid if the world was to go up in flames tomorrow, you could go to the other side a happy and accomplished, complete individual, right?
That's right, yeah. So hopefully this is
It won't. It is really just the beginning. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to probably drop on stage somewhere, you know?
Are you going out on stage soon? I gather you were meant to be, but that's no longer going ahead, right? Or has the date been pushed back or the Creatures tour?
Yeah, I'm not going to do the Yngwie tour, but I am, I'm going to be out there in the spring and stuff. It just wasn't the right time. You know, it's just all this crazy stuff that's going on, but it's starting to get better. So I really believe that next year is going to be awesome. And hopefully I'll be on tour like every day next year.
Yeah, 2022 for me has all the makings of the best year of our lives. After yes. 2 years of rest and recuperation, and now we can get into the regeneration part. And maybe the roaring 20s are still going to come. They just start in a couple of years later than planned.
Yeah, I'm totally into it. I'm in.
Well, I saw you play at the Garage in London a few years back doing the solo stuff, and it was an amazing show that I recommend if anybody gets the chance to go check it out. And the new album's brilliant. They're all great. I can't claim to have heard all of them, but I've heard at least, half a dozen. And I find you're one of those artists that when I'm listening to what you're doing, I'm having fun because you're having so much fun, and that just comes across.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, means a lot. Thank you.
So you have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Tell Nikki that Matt Stock says hello, and
I will.
I'll see you again, John.
All right. Thank you, bud.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Can't pass the people, can't pass up. Can't pass the people, can't pass up. Can't pass the people, can't pass up. Can't pass the people, can't pass up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.